Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, I have to confess that the sermon of the day is somewhat more of a policy statement than a homiletical exercise, somewhat more of a teaching than a sermon, but every now and then you need to do that. And so today we're going to do it. As you have heard umpteen times, our church is trying to put mission on the front burner here. We are a meat and potatoes church in terms of what we try to do, worship, education, and mission. We have put a great deal of time and energy and staffing and work into worship and into education. We have been doing a good bit in mission, but it is time to affirm the fact that mission is now front burner. It is not something called into question. It is a significant part of who we are. The difficulty of making a statement such as that is that we sometimes don't know what we're talking about when we say mission. The truth be known, if you ask three or four people what they think the mission is in the church, you'll get three or four different answers. And this is as it will always be. But we do need to get a handle on the larger subject. And so today we're going to begin a four-point sermon, which is going to dribble into next week, the fourth point being next Sunday. The first three having to do with mission as a line item concept, mission as an expression of God's limitless love, and mission as the Lord's leading. To be sure, when we talk about mission, we're talking about budget and what part of the budget will be considered mission. In the course of my ministry, we have gone through the period of time when persons have argued that everything that's in the budget is mission. Our worship experience is mission. Our education is mission. Our building, our facility is a part of the mission that we afford the community. 100% of what goes in the budget should be considered mission. That's a good argument, but it poses a problem in that it waters down certain dynamics of who we are. If you say that everything you do is mission, then there is no more urgency to feed the hungry than there is to fix up the church parlor. Because all of it is mission. Mission essentially is what we do for others. William Temple said that the church exists for those who are outside the church. Mission, not 100% of what we do, but it's a part of the budget. Other churches see it as a definition of a percent of the budget is going to go to mission. And this is a worthy idea. We ask you to have a percentage of what you earn and what you have that is given. And we want to model what that is by coming up with a goal, perhaps, of a third of the budget goes to mission, or half of the budget goes to mission. It's a noble venture to think in those terms. The problem is that money inevitably gets short, and so you begin to play games, and it's not unnatural or uncommon for a church with a percentage for mission drive to say, well, 20% of the people who come to worship are not members, and so 20% of all the salaries of people who lead in worship will be counted as mission, and 24% of the use of our building is for people outside the church, and so 24% of our facilities budget will be counted as mission. This as a way of reaching the goal of a certain percentage, and we can rather easily become Pharisees straining gnats trying to reach a percentage goal. Our church has tried in general terms to see mission as what we do in our outreach, but this year we're making a couple very significant changes in the line item concept of mission, and you need to be aware of them. The first is we are becoming very rigid in what we define as mission. We are pulling out of the mission budget everything that supports mission trips, everything that is the holding of a mission interpretive event, everything that would pay for the printing of mission interpretation materials, everything that has to do with staffing for mission. Some of those things have been in the mission budget already. Controversial among those is the mission trip, which is a significant part of who we are as a church. We send many people to the mission field and trips. And it's a way in which they give of themselves and do mission there. And we're going to continue to support it. We're going to create a new line in the budget called Mission Committee Expense, and it will be there. But in terms of mission, it's difficult to justify subsidizing a mainliner on a trip. It's really kind of spending money to subsidize ourselves. A pet peeve that I have over the years is that we very often have a way of calling mission what is really for our own benefit, discussion groups and bringing in speakers and publicity materials which can raise our consciousness, and it is good for us, but it isn't mission per se. We like to sit around and talk about mission and call it mission, but it isn't. I like what one person wrote: I was hungry and you formed a humanities club to discuss my hunger. Thank you. I was imprisoned and you crept off quietly to your chapel in the cellar and prayed for my release. I was naked and in your mind you debated the morality of my appearance. I was sick and you knelt and thanked God for your health. I was homeless and you left me alone to pray. You seem so holy, so close to God, and I'm still hungry and lonely and cold. So where have your prayers gone and what have they done? What does it profit a man to page through his book of prayers when the rest of the world is crying out for help? We're going to be very rigorous in what is counted as mission here. It is not what raises our consciousness. It is what goes out to persons beyond our church who have a very real spiritual or physical need. The other thing that is of great significance, and the session has locked in on this one, as you know, the session sets the budget for the church. The session has already set a part of the budget for the year 2000 prior to our having our stewardship campaign. The outcome of the stewardship campaign is not going to alter this part of our budget. The mission budget is already set at twice what it was for the year 1999. We have had enough of the business in this church where mission is what we decide to squeeze into the budget after the more important stuff is there. And then at the end of the year, if there's enough money, we'll pay the mission budget. In order for mission to be front burner, you got to put it on the front burner. We have set the budget and we are going to pay it. Now, to do so may very well jeopardize the program of our church, may jeopardize the staffing of our church, may cause us to run a horrendous deficit. It may risk our financial security, but that doesn't matter. We are about the business of doing mission. You don't do mission by talking about it. You don't do mission by planning for it. You don't do mission by studying it. You don't do mission by praying about it. You do mission by doing it. So we are a church that is putting mission on the front burner, and we're doing it. Period. End of discussion. The line item concept of mission. A second concept of mission has to do with God's limitless love. And a problem you face is that people are constantly trying to figure out ways to limit God's love. I like what someone said about mission. It is the whole gospel for the whole person in the whole world. To say that demands that you break down barriers. The Wayne Presbyterian Church over the last several years has played a very significant role in our denomination in trying to proclaim the whole gospel. We are a denomination that has been hopelessly divided into two warring camps that are struggling with each other to determine which partial gospel is going to prevail. That seems to me to be an unworthy battle. If we're going to have the whole gospel, it involves bringing under the same tent the warring camps, because like the body of Christ, we cannot say to part of the body, we have no need of you. In order to proclaim the whole gospel, we need the whole church. divided into camps. Is it all about social action or is it about evangelism? And the evangelism people are suspicious of social action because they think it somehow is too worldly and gets us away from our calling of evangelism. And the social action people don't want to support evangelism because it dilutes our social ministry. And so they war with each other, but to have the whole gospel, you need them both. It's been a fascinating experience to put persons of the two camps in the same room. The barriers come down as they realize how vast is the love of our Lord, that these people who in our camp meetings we call demons are actually some fairly decent folk loved by Jesus, serving Jesus. The whole gospel, that's the challenge of the church in these days, not to get into some little warring faction about some little segment of the gospel, but to bring it all together. The whole gospel for the whole person. Spiritual, physical, emotional, intellectual, the whole person. Jesus talked about the spiritual side of people and the need to be born again, but Jesus was a very secular person. He talked about feeding the hungry and clothing the naked and housing the homeless. That's what was important to him. And when his brother James wrote a letter, brother James, who had grown up with Jesus and knew how Jesus thought, said, if a brother or sister is naked or lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and eat your fill, and let you do not supply their daily needs, what's the good of that? The whole gospel to the whole person, the physical needs and the spiritual needs, the emotional needs, the intellectual needs. Billy Graham, in his call to conversion, is very much about mission. A Billy Graham crusade is mission. Significantly, when the Graham organization comes to town, they see to it that there are social dynamics to what they do. A soup kitchen is very much about mission. Many soup kitchens will have a spiritual dimension to what they do. It's the ministry, breaking down barriers to minister to the whole person in the whole world. In Pittsburgh, we had a time of great renewal and growth in mission, but with it came a struggle and came an argument. The international people were fighting with the local people, who were fighting with the city people as to what mission really is. And there were struggles for the dollars that were in the mission budget, and so we had to sit them down on several evenings to try to make nice within this situation. And what we did was hear the testimonies of the persons who were concerned about international mission, and they talked about mission trips that they had taken, and they talked about people they had met, people who were putting their lives on the line to help people in developing nations and the desperate straits that folks faced there, and there were tears in the eyes of everyone in the room. And then you had your urban people who talk about what it is to be in the city these days and the difficulties you face and how hopeless it is in a world that seems to be discriminating against you. How do you find hope there and some of the ways in which hope could be felt? And again, tears in the eyes of persons in the room. And then those who were into the local community talking about the ways in which suburbia has a way of glossing over the drugs and the violence and the pagan culture in which it finds itself. And again, people deeply moved. We realize we're talking about the whole gospel to the whole person, to the entire world, starting right here and reaching out to the ends of the earth. This limitless love of God breaks down barriers and goes into new turf. Our third point, having talked about the ledger lines and the line items, and having talked about the limitless love of God, is the Lord's leading. Mission, in the last analysis, is not what we do, it's what God is doing. It's not about us, it's about God. If we make it about us, then we're merely a social volunteer club that engages in charitable giving, Essentially, we become, if it's all about us, a ruse for a tax-exempt status and helping people feel good about their prejudices. The only way in which we're about business is that we're about the business of God's business. That's what mission is. Mission is God at work, and our task as a church is to discern where God is and what God is doing, and in whatever feeble way we can, to get on board. Now, God's work is not easy. I can tell you that. It is not easy. God's work is almost always ugly. It's ugly because it takes place where human need really is. It's almost always going to engage in spiritual warfare because there are forces of evil that don't want God's work to be done. God's work will take a long, long time. We are participating in something that may not bear fruit until long after we're gone. God's work requires persons who are willing to deny themselves and take up their cross and follow Him. It's difficult. It's challenging. It's what mission is all about. But the good news is that the Lord is on the move. God is alive and well and going on about His business. John DeLulio, a brilliant person and insight into what's going on in our culture, talking about the coming predators and the coming generation of persons growing up, says it makes all the difference in the world if you're in an urban street late at night and it's dark and you're walking alone down that street and around the corner up ahead of you come 10 teenage boys and they're coming at you. He says it makes all the difference in the world whether those boys have just been in a rock concert, a rap concert, at a violent movie, or at a church Bible study. He says when he faces that kind of a crisis and those young men come at him, he hopes and prays they're coming out of a church. Because the church is an organization where God is at work changing lives and impacting lives in ways that the culture does not and cannot. Indeed, many are believing that the church and the religious community may be the only hope for our cities. We tend, as is our wont, to have our national elections between somebody a few years ago from Russell, Kansas, against somebody from Hope, Arkansas, and somehow coming out of that, they're supposed to deal with the urban crisis. We don't tend to be a culture that's in touch with its own cities, but the church is, because the church is where God is at work. Or the international scene. Over the years of my ministry, I've had many people come to me, and in a condescending way, it's amazing how folks condescend toward the church. So, do you really think that your missionaries know more about what's going on in the international scene than our government does? Well, to be wholly candid, yeah, I think we might. We haven't recently bombed too many Chinese embassies by mistake, but we might just have a better handle on it, and even if we don't, the data that we have is not under the control of the latest poll from a fundamentally isolationistic and militaristic public. It's accountable to God, and is thus free to look at the truth. It's there in the third world, and it's hearing people's confessions, and it's giving people food without strings attached, and it's ministering to people without worrying about international struggles. It's unconditional love, and it's hearing the truth. It's getting into communities in ways the government can't. The international stage, God is at work. God is doing amazing things. I can remember as a boy being shown a map of China and hearing the line that if we had sent more missionaries to China, we would not have lost China. Well, we may have lost China, but God did not. And what we discover as we lift the lid of what's going on in that vast culture is that there are cadres of Christians very much at work. God is alive and well. You can't suppress or squash God. God is on the move. God is doing amazing things in this community, on our city streets, and around the world. The task of mission is to open ourselves to that Spirit of the living God, that God might move through us and work through us to work his purpose out. What is mission? It's about line items. It's about limitless love. It's about the Lord's leading. I heard a story about a long line formed one day where poor people were being given food. At the end of that line was a little girl who kept looking back behind her. Across the street, there were three smaller children who were obviously her brothers and sisters. The line moved slowly, and the line was long. Now, the authorities who were handing out the food noticed that little girl standing at the end of that line patiently. They began to be worried because there were so many people between where they were and where she stood, and they worried that the food would run out. Sure enough, by the time she got there, there was only one thing left, a banana. They gave her the banana. She took it and eagerly ran across the street to the three children that she'd been looking at. And she sat down. Now there were four of them. And she peeled that banana and broke it into three even pieces and gave it to the other three children. There was nothing left but the peel. And she sat down in that little circle of family, and across the street an adult was watching. And he noticed that the little girl was licking the banana peel. And the man said, "I swear I saw the face of God." The Lord is on the move. The Lord is doing amazing things where people are showing love, where people are giving, where people are caring, where people are sharing. Come, Lord Jesus, and work through us. Amen.